Evening, and welcome to another exciting, ever-increasing Word Training Center class. I'm your instructor, Dr. W. Ron Walker, under the apostolic leadership of my apostle, Leroy Thompson, Sr. I want to admonish you and encourage you as students of this training center to never take for granted the apostle that God has placed in our lives. I highly recommend that you view this past Money Coming to You conference on Thursday and Friday. God is doing exactly what our apostle has decreed and declared. And so I want to make sure you know you're not under a regular man of God. We're talking about a man of experience, a man of encounters, a man of revelation, a man of illumination. God is using him as an illustration of what he could do in your life when you're willing to pay the price, count up the cost. So I thank God for my apostle and the royal family. And for those of you that are present tonight, let us get into tonight's lesson, which is we're teaching out of the book, Moving in the Gifts of Revelation and Prophecy. We're starting chapter number 11, the gift of the word of wisdom. Then the final chapter we'll be dealing with in chapter 12 is the final subject will be the discerning of spirits. So let us begin this evening's session. The definition of the word of wisdom. It is the Holy Spirit's supernatural revelation of the mind of Christ concerning the future plans and purposes of God for a person, church, or nation. It is the unfolding of God's will and God's purposes that need to be carried out and established in the lives of those concerned. It is the prophetic avenue by which guidance and direction are progressively given to be a believer. The gift of the word of wisdom helps to confirm the personal guidance already received into their hearts. Through this prophetic avenue, specific instructions are given that must be followed for the fulfillment of God's purpose in their lives. The unfolding of specific commands to obey and conditions to fulfill are clearly defined in a mature operation of the word of wisdom. These instructions, commands, and conditions are essential ingredients to help in the development and the ultimate fulfillment of these plans and purposes of God. What the word of wisdom is not. Now, before they, somebody raise that AC up over there. Amen. Okay, keep going. The word of wisdom is not sanctified common sense that is reflected in the wise sayings of a natural man. Those such things can be thought provoking. They are not the gift of the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is not administrative wisdom, the ability to organize and pool resources together to fulfill a common task is not the gift of the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is not a code of ethics or conduct, unwise behavioral patterns. The word of wisdom is not a high degree of intellectualism. The word of wisdom is not deep spiritual insight or unusual understanding of the more mystical parts of God's word. Believers may even have access to revelation on the scriptures without possessing any of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Every born-again believer is entitled to the privilege of hearing from God the Father, not just those who are baptized in the Holy Spirit. However, it is obvious that you cannot operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, because they are his gifts outworked through a believer. You cannot have the Holy Spirit's gifts without having him. And when he comes, the evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost is found in Acts 2, 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all of the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat up on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit comes with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. We can't get around the scripture. Remember, we taught earlier in this class that the gateway to all of the other gifts is prophecy, or prophesying. Are you listening? One of the first things that happened through the gift of when they were filled with the Holy Ghost is they began to prophesy. You have to read that in Acts chapter 10 as well. So, you know, prophesying is not something that's such a spiritual guru. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you should prophesy. So let's remember, praying always with all manner of prayer in the Spirit. To pray in the Spirit is to pray in other tongues. We must focus on now, the gateway that opened up the Holy Spirit's gifts is to be filled with it. That's what the author is trying to communicate. Yet there's a group of people who don't believe that you could speak in other tongues. But you can't believe people. Believe the Bible. Peter, in Acts chapter number 10, when he went to Cornelius's house, you read it for yourself. I don't have time to go through all 44 verses. But the angel told Cornelius to send for one Peter. And he said when he would come, he would give you words whereby you and your household would be saved. And it was unlawful at that time for a man that was a Jew to keep company with someone who was a Gentile. But Peter, having received that vision from God, when the sheet was let down, y'all know it if you know the scriptures, and in that sheet was all manner of four-footed beasts that were considered by Jewish law common and unclean. And when Peter was instructed by God saying, arise, Peter, slay and eat. Peter said, no, I can't do that because no common or unclean thing have ever touched my lip. God said, what I've clean, don't you call common or unclean. We know that that happened three times and then the sheet was took up. We know that Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 was praying and the Bible says he loved God and he gave much alms. But that God sent an angel to tell him that your prayers were heard and your almsgiving has come before God as a memorial. Now send for Peter. And you know, when Peter got there, once again, he explained to him that it was unlawful for a Jew to keep company with a Gentile. But who was God that I could resist him? Are you listening? And the Bible says, that when Peter began to preach, there was no time to go to Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10. The Bible says, as Peter began to preach, the Holy Ghost fell on them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Talk to me now. And Peter, having to go explain to those at Jerusalem why he went to Cornelius' house in the first place, said, who am I to resist God? God is of no respecter of persons. The same Holy Ghost that fell on us in that upper room is the same Holy Ghost that fell on them. Are you listening? So what are you saying, Dr. Walker? I'm saying that same Holy Ghost is available to you. I don't care if you're Baptist, Catholic, Presbyterian, or Methodist. You are a child of God. You have a right to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Why? So you can build up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. My goodness. Okay, so you cannot have the Holy Spirit gifts if you don't want him. All right, let's go. Learning to minister the word of wisdom. First, we receive by revelation certain facts concerning the future plans and purposes. These facts will come by the revelations of the Holy Spirit. Two, these facts are always related to a person's destiny. They revolve around the plans and the purposes of God in people's lives and ministries and churches and nations. Remember now, churches are people. Churches are people. When Paul, when you read the book, when Paul wrote all of the epistles, they were letters to the churches that God sent him out to establish as an apostle. I mean, you don't come stand out in the parking lot of a church building and say, let me read a letter to the church. The church is a living, moving, breathing organism. The ecclesia, the called out ones of God. Go ahead, child. These facts concern the future destiny, accomplishments, or involvements of these people. Three, we need to receive a work of confirmation within our own hearts to ascertain these facts received are of the Lord. Number four, we need a healthy mind to help to clarify and to receive understanding concerning the future plans and purposes of God. An unrenewed mind will sow doubts, fear, and unbelief into the revealed word, thus adulterating the pure word of God. That's why the renewing of the mind is the most important thing to a believer. Unfortunately, in the new birth, much of the body of Christ do not understand that their soul is not saved. When you are born of God, it is the spirit of man in the new birth that eternal life is imparted to. But the soul must be saved. See, the Bible says in Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. We are further admonished that we're not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, but we ought to think soberly. We ought to think godly. All of that happens with the renewing of the mind. Well, in James chapter 1, it talks about receive with meekness the engrafted word, watch this term now, which is able to save your soul. So if my soul was saved in the new birth, I wouldn't need the engrafted word to save it. The mind cannot be renewed without doing the word. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. See, when you're just a hearer of the word, that's mentally assenting that the word is true. But it's the doing of the word that brings forth manifestation and demonstration. Are you listening? So it's the doer of the word that is blessed in all of his deeds. I want to admonish you, your soul is not saved. The only way a man's soul can be saved is he, not Apostle Thompson, not Dr. Walker, not Dr. Leroy Thompson Jr., not Dr. Montrell, not Pastor Cowan, or Reverend Calhoun, or any of the other instructors. Reverend Joanne Thompson, trying to get them all in. Are you listening to me? You, or your mind will not be renewed because you're listening to them. There must be a meditation upon, and then there must come a doing. There must be a doing. And unfortunately, we have a lot of people with Bible knowledge with no results. So what does that come to, Dr. Walker? Ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. When you come to the knowledge of the truth, children, you are set free. He that the Son had set free is free indeed. You cannot be free without the engrafted word. What does that mean? Engrafting the word into the fabric of your soul so that your thinking is governed by your thoughts from meditating in God's word. Now that's worth your whole night. Go ahead. An unrenewed mind acts against or rebels against God's word and against revelation knowledge given to us from God. The mind that is not set on the spirit is hostile towards God, and it has no capacity to please God. Number five, to function strongly in the word of wisdom, we need to have sound understanding of the scripture, the principles, the ways, and the workings of God. In order to interpret scriptures in the present light of God's revelations, it requires a good foundation of biblical understanding. That's why the Bible, I believe it's in 1 Timothy 2:15. Y'all might look it up, but it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed. Here it comes. Rightly dividing the word of truth. See, wisdom is the principal thing. But in all thy getting, get an understanding. Do you know that the Holy Spirit is the spirit of wisdom? The spirit of understanding? The spirit of might? The spirit of counsel? The spirit of the knowledge of the fear of the Lord. That's why it's important to have him functioning in our lives. Remember, the Holy Spirit is to be to the modern day believer, the church, what Jesus was to the 12. We need to understand that. Jesus in St. John chapter 14 told his apostles, I'm coming back to you. When the Holy Spirit is come, he is another comforter, another of the same sort or kind as I am. He's not going to be Emmanuel, God with you. He's going to be Holy Spirit, God in you. And when the Holy Spirit comes and take up residence in you, that's me coming. All right, you better read your own Bible. That's why our apostle have us in here, because we are connected to him. We are not here for a show. We want you to have an understanding that without the renewing of the mind by the power of the Holy Spirit, we cannot accomplish what God sent us here to accomplish. Can't do it in our own strength. Our minds must be renewed to the word of God in giving and in receiving and in every other aspect of ministry. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Zechariah 4:6, not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. You know what Luke 4:18, Jesus said, the spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me. Well, we know in Matthew 3:11, when he was baptized, that's when the Holy Spirit came upon him when he came up out of the water. I don't have time to give a whole lesson on all of that, children, but remember, Jesus was a man anointed with God, the Holy Spirit, and he functioned in all 9 manifestations of the Spirit of God, and that's what made his ministry so powerful and impactful, because Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. It's my Father in me. He doeth the works. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Dr. Walker, how was God present with Jesus? In the person of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist, the forerunner to Jesus, said, God spoke to him and said, upon whom you see the Spirit of God descend and remain upon, that's my son. Read St. John chapter 1. And John said, and I saw, and I bear record, I saw the Spirit of God descend upon him. I saw the Spirit of God remain upon him. The one who sent me to baptize said, when I see this, that's my son. From that time forward, John the Baptist should have packed up his ministry and went with Jesus. He was the preparer of the way. But once the way came, He should have got the hell out the way and joined with the way. And he would have never been in prison getting his head cut off. Lord have mercy. I know you never heard nothing like that, but slop up on a biscuit. Go ahead. We cannot predict outside of the boundaries of the revelation of scriptures or the canon of scripture. All nine manifestations of the spirit function in conjunction with what's revealed to us in the scripture. That's our guideline. So don't come telling me nothing God said and it don't line up, line up on line, precept upon precept with his word. God ain't a fool. And neither should we be. Let no man deceive you. Go ahead, child. We cannot chart the course of the lives of others into a path that God has not chosen for them. Number six, we need to understand the difference between faith statements or faith projections and actual, clear, directive predictions that are of or from the Lord. Can I say this? God takes words and put them in your mouth. That's accurate. That's why preaching is prophesying. I mean, come on, we can't be lying on God. That's why you got to be anointed to preach. A seminary cannot teach you to preach. You must be anointed to preach. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Talk to me in here. Anointed to preach. Anointed to prosper. Anointed to prophesy. Go ahead. Faith statements or projections are often spoken from the speaker's level of faith. The recipient of prophecy may not be in a spiritual state to believe it. Faith statements are often addressing the potential of the person and not his present capabilities or involvements. Faith statements operate on a lower level of prophetic anointing than directive predictions. Clear directive predictions operate on a higher level of anointing. One addresses the potential, the other is destiny as God wants it. Do you understand that? The word of wisdom is about the destiny of the individual, the church or the nation. That's why a word of wisdom is accurate. Are you listening to me? This ain't no guesswork. Read the book of Acts when the Lord Jesus would appear to people. Are you listening? You don't remember Paul on the road to Damascus? Are you listening? Knocked off of that horse? Talk to me up here. Knocked off of that horse, and because he had letters bound to go put the saints in jail and even kill them if you have to. Are you listening? And the Lord Jesus Christ appeared in a light that shone above the midday sun, knocked him off of that horse. Are you listening? And Saul at the time said, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord, that I'm persecuting? And Jesus said, I am Jesus. When you persecute the church, you persecute Jesus. Because Jesus is the head of the church, which is his body. So now watch what God told him. God said, all that havoc you was wreaking on the church, I'm going to show you what great things you must suffer for my name's sake. Now watch this. You read the Bible. You will find through the book of Acts where God would give men words to tell Saul. Hello. About his purpose and his destiny. And it manifests even as the word said. Okay, go ahead. Number 7. In learning to operate in the word of wisdom, exercise caution. Lives can be destroyed by a wrong word. You can get somebody. See, we got too many people going around here talking about they prophesying. Listen to me. Prophecy. It's God talking to you to talk to somebody. When you prophesy, you're speaking on God's behalf. So don't lie. Don't try to be spiritual and tell somebody something God did not say. Y'all can see people don't like this kind of strong. That's why you can't have a phone prophet. Prophecy must be judged. By what? By canon of scripture. And mature prophets. I've seen lives wrecked. I've seen people marry people they weren't supposed to marry because somebody say, I have a word for you, that's your wife. Well, hell, if God don't tell me, I don't know if I want to marry her. Y'all see, y'all don't know people are gullible. Are you listening? People get so caught up with trying to be spiritual, a man is in another ministry playing on an organ. Are you listening? He already married. The speaker tell him, oh, you gonna marry such and such. How he gonna get married to somebody already married? That's because people go with words that are not accurate. See, you can't prophesy it out of your own mind and your own flesh. You're gonna wreck somebody's life. It's the Holy Spirit and his gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I believe is verse 7, say, it's as the Spirit will, not as you will. Prophecy is as the Spirit will. Okay, go ahead. Observe the following precautions. Always major on counsel, revelation and direction rather than on prediction. Provide clarity on the future plans and purposes of God. Give specific instruction leading to its fulfillment. Remember, all of God's promises are conditional. There's God's sovereignty, his supreme and absolute power. He's independent of every other power and any other God that people make. And then there's man's responsibility on the other. Always try to surround your word of wisdom with a scriptural basis and context. If the person forgets his prophecy, he will still be reminded by the passage of scripture that we took our reference from. When the person goes back to the scriptures mentioned, God can continue to speak to him or her concerning himself or herself and provide greater detail, understanding of what he or she must do. There's only so much we can speak or reveal in a presbytery. The recipient have to take their prophecy to those scriptures and to God for further clarification and progressive revelation. That's it. Enjoy your evening. We'll see you next week with chapter number 12.